BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
You're about to listen to an episode of Cold Therapy with me, Michael Mosley. If you're in the UK, the whole series is available now, first on BBC Sounds. There's a chill in the air as winter arrives, bringing shorter days and longer nights. Traditionally, this is the time to wrap up, to try and keep warm. But the cold isn't always the enemy, something to bat away, to keep at bay. The cold is something we can, at times, work with and harness in ways that can help our health and well-being. This is Cold Therapy, with me, Dr. Michael Mosley. In this BBC Radio 4 podcast series, I'm going to look at the science behind how the cold affects us. Based on the latest research, we'll reveal some simple, safe, and practical things you can do and the effect they'll have if you choose to invite in the colder side of life. In recent years, as energy bills have soared and we have become much more aware of the dangers of climate change, many of us have decided, in the colder months, to turn the thermostat down a bit. It's something we do in our house, where the thermostat is kept really quite low. That's because, as well as saving money and helping to reduce carbon emissions, I'm convinced there are health benefits to lowering the temperature. I'm not talking about the relentless misery and suffering of fuel poverty, but how discreet and deliberate periods of cold could actually be good for us. In this series, I'm going to be icing injuries, cold water swimming, exercising in the cold weather, having cold showers, and more. But in this first programme, I'm looking at a gentler way to bring in the cold, turning down that thermostat by a few degrees. Studies suggest that doing this can improve your metabolic health and might protect against type 2 diabetes and cardiovascular disease. And when you've got used to it, living in a cooler space can even boost your mood. We live in an old house which we have tried to insulate as well as we can, but it is incredibly expensive to heat. So come the winter, we pile on lots of layers of clothes and keep the thermostat at around 15 degrees Celsius, which is certainly on the low side. I find it tolerable, though my wife Claire is not that keen. So, is what we are doing masochistic, or are there health reasons, as well as financial reasons, for keeping it this low? One of the top experts in the field is Hanna Palabinski, assistant professor at Maastricht University in the Netherlands.
Our body wants to maintain its temperature pretty exactly around 37 degrees Celsius. And to keep that body temperature stable, we have a set of mechanisms that make it possible. That can be our physiology, so we can actually actively regulate our core temperature by mechanisms that the body has to either keep the body more warm or cold, but also behavior plays a very important role.
Hannah's been studying what happens in the body when we spend a few hours a day in the cool at around 15 degrees Celsius.
And the first thing that happens is kind of the fine-tuning of the body is to change blood flow.
If you wear rings on your fingers, you may have noticed that when your hands get cold, your rings get looser.
And this is because there's less blood flow to our fingers because the body wants to keep that blood close to the core to avoid it cooling down.
But after several minutes in the cool, blood flow alone may not protect your core temperature, and so your body will need to start generating its own heat by shivering.
Shivering is a really powerful mechanism to maintain body temperature. And what happens really with shivering is that muscles burn fuel, burn calories that might be sugar or fat, to produce heat. Because by these muscle contractions, heat will be produced and that can help to keep the core temperature stable. Of course, that has its limitations. It's quite uncomfortable and it costs the body a lot of energy, so you don't want to keep shivering too much.
Interestingly, Hannah saw that over 10 days, this shivering response decreased the participants shivered less as they started adapting to the new room temperature.
You see that people really start adapting to the cold. So in the beginning, you might see them shivering a little bit. And over time, we saw that this got less. We saw that people were really getting more comfortable with the cold and they were not struggling as much anymore. They were feeling warmer, even though the temperature was the same. Yeah, they were just feeling better. You can really feel and see sometimes that cold makes people feel unhappy and miserable. But over time, the more days they were sitting in this cold acclimation study, the better it got for most of them.
And this cold acclimation, or adaptation, brings some surprising benefits. In recent work, Hannah and her colleagues found links between cold adaptation and reduced blood pressure. There's also evidence that it can lower cholesterol, lead to a boost in mood and energy levels, and some people even seem to get a kind of serotonin dopamine kick from it. But the thing which is of particular interest to me is the impact that cold adaptation has on people with type 2 diabetes, something my father had and which I'm trying to keep at bay. Hannah's research group has found that repeated exposure to a relatively cool room can improve glucose metabolism, how quickly excess sugar is removed from your blood, something which is a real problem for people with diabetes.
So we exposed people to 10 days of cold, 14 to 15 degrees Celsius, for 6 hours per day. And before and after, we took measurements looking at the glucose metabolism and certain markers in muscle. And we saw that after 10 days of cold acclimation, there were really some improvements of glucose metabolism. People were even up to 40% better in maintaining their glucose metabolism.
The big question was why? Well, the answer was found inside the muscles. Although you start to shiver less as you become acclimatized to the cold, your muscle cells are still adapting and changing. And one of those changes is an increase in a particular protein which helps remove glucose from the blood.
This was due to something called glucose transporter 4. And we saw much more of that in muscle cells after cold acclimation. It's a protein that can help remove the glucose from the bloodstream more quickly, which is a positive thing because that really improves glucose metabolism. Now we really had a mechanism that was suggesting why these really nice improvements that we were seeing were happening.
In other words, cold adaptation seems to encourage, via this protein glucose transporter 4, a more efficient uptake of glucose from the blood into the muscle cells. And it's not just glucose metabolism that changes. Your fat metabolism changes too. Hannah's group discovered that just 10 days of cold acclimation led to something remarkable. Your body starts to produce brown adipose tissue, or brown fat. And brown fat has properties that make it quite unlike other types of fat.
Brown fat is called brown fat because when you look at it under the microscope, it has a lot of these little energy factories, the mitochondria, which have kind of a brownish color, and they can make heat, they can produce heat. So they can use fuels like sugar or fats and burn these fuels to create heat. So the way it is distributed in the body, you see it along the spine, down the spinal cord basically. We also see it under the clavicle bone and in the armpits really a little bit. And there's lots of nerves and blood vessels that run in these areas. So the theory is that brown fat is strategically positioned there to keep these very important structures warm.
We've known for some time that young children carry quite a bit of brown fat. But it's only been in the last 15 years or so we've realised adults can also make it. Scientists are still working out all the ways it might affect us, but it's thought it can help reduce cholesterol, combat obesity, and even limit the growth of some cancers. So, if you want to improve your sugar and fat metabolism, lower your blood pressure, and maybe feel a bit brighter, you could try turning down the thermostat a bit. Maybe start by turning it down a couple of degrees. If that feels uncomfortable, try having the colder temperature for a few hours of the day and then build up from there. Once you get used to that, you might want to try 1 or 2 degrees lower and see how you get on. That said, you don't want to risk hypothermia. Older people and the young tend to be more vulnerable to the cold and therefore need to be a bit more careful. And if you suffer from heart disease or have a raised risk of a heart event or stroke, then you should be extra careful. Because though cold adaptation can lower blood pressure in the long term, the body's initial response is to slow heat loss by constricting your blood vessels. And that can make your blood pressure and heart rate rise. So if you are at all vulnerable, take medical advice. And whatever you do, do it gradually, as cold adaptation takes time. Having said all that, it should help you cope with the wintry weather.
It improves our resilience. So when we then go out and are really exposed to cold, our bodies are already a little bit more used to it. Maybe the blood vessels have been trained a little bit better to retain the warm blood in the core. Maybe we do need less shivering now because we are already more used to being exposed to cold. So this is in itself a benefit for everybody.
One other practical thing to bear in mind if you share your living space with someone else is, are they happy to lower the thermostat? Now I'm standing beside our thermostat with my wife Claire, and it's currently reading 15 degrees. What do you think about that?
Well, given that I'm wearing a thick jumper and a very thick scarf, I'm actually feeling surprisingly comfortable. So not so bad at the moment, but we have had our moments, haven't we?
Yeah, no, to be honest, we have bickered quite a lot about that. I mean, what happens is that I put the thermostat down and then Claire comes along and puts it up. And then I sneak along in the middle of the night and turn it down again.
Turn it off.
So my wife, Claire, is convinced she feels the cold more than I do. And this is more than just a personal preference. But is she right?
Women have just some biological differences when compared to men. And I'm going to very clearly say that this is on average. There might be cases where things are the opposite or the other way around. But I'm just going to say there are some differences between women and men. On average, men have more muscle mass. So when you have more muscle tissue, you produce more heat, and this keeps you warmer, ultimately. And this really explains why, on average, women feel colder more easily than men. This is a very real biological explanation, and it's not just a stereotype that women complain more about feeling cold. It is really the case that women lose more heat to the environment and have less muscle on average to produce heat.
In fact, a study in 2018 looked at the temperature that men and women start to shiver at and discovered women start feeling the cold nearly 4 degrees Celsius above the threshold for men, which makes me a little more sympathetic to Claire. As far as the thermostat is concerned, I think Claire and I have come to a reasonable middle ground, and I promise not to try and lower the temperature any further. I can see from our heating bills that we are saving money, and I do feel, well, cold adapted. I also feel confident that our bodies are now better prepared for whatever winter is going to throw at us. So there you go, one simple way that you can bring the benefits of the cold into your life. To hear more of the series, why not subscribe on BBC Sounds? On the next episode of Cold Therapy, when to ice injuries and why you might want to try contrast therapy by alternating between hot and cold in the shower.
Hello, this is Marion Keyes.
And this is Tara Flynn.
We host a podcast you might like for BBC Radio 4 and BBC Sounds called Now You're Asking.
Each week we take real listeners' questions about life,
love,
lingerie,
cats,
dogs,
dentists,
pockets,
or the lack of
anything really,
and apply our worldly wisdom in a way which we hope will help,
but also hopefully entertain. Join us, why don't you?
Search up Now You're Asking
on BBC Sounds.
Tankin' you.